This is episode 75 with Jose Flores.
When life throws us a challenge, when life throws us a struggle, a situation, a circumstance, many people give up, right? It's because it's hard. It's very hard to push through when you're drained physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, when you have no hope, when you have no faith. It's hard to move forward when you're lacking those things. That's why faith is so important. You know, a lot of times people ask me, like, how is it that you know, my faith in God has helped me tremendously. And it's the main thing that has pushed me forward in life when I started to understand how powerful faith is. But not only faith, right? Keeping hope alive, right? Like, my body, every day I wake up, you know, it appears to be getting weaker and weaker as the years, you know, the months and years go on. That's the conversation I was telling you earlier that I had with my wife. Like, how do you keep the faith when nothing positive seems to be happening, right? There seems to be no improvement. There seems to be nothing happening. How do you keep your faith?
Welcome to the Drive to Succeed podcast.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Drive to Succeed podcast. If it's your first time tuning in today, my name is Daniel, the host of the show. This podcast exists to bring you new knowledge, wisdom, and truth in the world of entrepreneurship and self-development. Today's guest is the CEO and founder of Indispensable Now. He is a global motivator, mindset disruptor, and best-selling author. At the age of 3, he was diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy, a neuromuscular disease that weakens the muscles, and has been living life in a wheelchair since the age of 22. Growing up wasn't easy. He suffered from many insecurities and feeling of insignificance, not knowing where he would end up in life. Until one day, he made a choice to start living life to the fullest and not caring about what other people thought about him. Through his perseverance and faith in God, he's been able to overcome many obstacles. He has been blessed with a beautiful wife, 2 wonderful sons, and a company he created that allows him to motivate and inspire others. Before I send you off, make sure to share this episode to your friend, to your family member, to your colleague. If it's your first time here, or if you haven't yet subscribe to the Drive to Succeed podcast in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Click that subscribe button right now. Leave us a rating and a review in Apple Podcasts. This way, it can improve our searchability, reach out, and impact more people too. This podcast episode is a story about hope, faith, and love. A heartwarming story that would inspire you to think positively about the challenges you have in your business, family, relationship, and life. And now, let's welcome Jose Flores.
Thank you so much for having me, Daniel. I appreciate you having me on the show.
You're welcome. So one of the aim of this podcast is to inspire and impact people through unique stories from someone like yourself, Jose, who encountered insurmountable challenges while maintaining this beautiful outlook in life. I know you have a lot of stories and lessons to share our audience today, but for those of us who is hearing your name for the first time, can you give us a little bit of context? Who is Jose Flores?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you again for having me. So as you mentioned, I'm all of those accolades, but at the end of the day, Daniel, what I am is I'm just a messenger of hope, you know, because I know I was born and raised in the Bronx in New York City. And I had a great childhood. I was, you know, had the family and I was able to walk and run and do all the healthy things that normal healthy young boys do. But I was diagnosed with a rare condition called spinal muscular atrophy. And that was at the age of 3. And the doctors had said that they were saying that I would end up in a wheelchair by the age of 15. And they weren't even expecting me to live past my teenage years. But, you know, through the grace of God, this year I'm excited because this year I celebrated my 44th birthday. And I actually didn't end up in a wheelchair until I was 22 years old. And that's due to this condition called spinal muscular atrophy, as I mentioned. So basically what this condition does is the older I get, the weaker my muscles get. So I can still move. I can still feel everything. They're just atrophied, which means weakening. So I am, in a wheelchair now permanently because I can't walk. Like I said, I lost my ability to walk at 22. And since then, it's been an amazing journey, man. You know, and it's funny because I just had this discussion with my wife earlier today. It's funny because sometimes knowing that your body is getting weaker as you get older is not something that's easily manageable in your mindset, right? It's not something that you think about and you're like, oh wow, this is just a walk in the park, right? This is a piece of cake. it was very difficult. And even now, you know, just being authentic and transparent, sometimes now it gets hard knowing that I can't do certain things physically. It gets frustrating. I get overwhelmed. You know, I get upset, and I'm human, right? I go through all of these human emotions, but at the end of the day, I know that my purpose is greater. And I know that, you know, this situation that I'm in, I was able to figure out a way to turn it around and turn it into a positive instead of it always looking like a negative in my life. That's what pushes me forward. That's what allows me to wake up every morning and get out of my bed and get into this wheelchair and get out into the world and touch so many lives, because I know that through my pain, through my suffering, through my struggles, it's helping other people to win in their own lives.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, and congratulations. I know it's quite difficult to put myself, even our audience, into your shoes. And we might pretend that we empathize, but unless we are there in your situation, it's really hard to comment. But I'm just really curious as well, because I didn't know that you were diagnosed at the age of 3. I thought you were diagnosed at 22, but that was a time where you were permanently tied to a wheelchair. And also, I'm just really curious as well. Obviously, you've been permanently disabled at the age of 22. What was your biggest fear back then? What was the conversation look like? I mean, do you even think like, right, what's going to happen to me? How would I work?
Yeah. I was thinking all of those things. My biggest question was, you know, what am I going to do now? You know, am I able to ever, is anybody going to hire me? What am I going to be able to do? I didn't even know what my gifts were at the time. And, you know, I was always wondering if a woman was going to love me like this, if I was going to have children, if I was going to be able to drive a car ever again, or own a home, or, you know, or just basic things that everyone else, you know, doesn't even think twice about. So, yeah, I had all of those type of questions. And the only way I was able to get the answer was because I never gave up. Right. I kept pushing forward and seeking the answers to the questions that I had. And even though sometimes I disqualified myself, you know, I didn't need other people to disqualify me, because in my mind, I was already disqualifying myself. I was like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not capable. People aren't going to accept me. They're going to reject me. They're going to look at me funny. They're not going to respect me as a man. They're not going to think that I have the intelligence or the education to do a particular job. So I was already beating myself up in my own head, you know? But, you know, again, that I think that just comes with the territory. But going through the process, going through the storm, going through the struggles and pushing through, constantly pushing through and fighting and fighting and fighting and never giving up. I think that that's what's allowed me to really appreciate life on a whole other level.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And what is your first, I assume when you were disabled, you haven't started speaking yet, or do you start speaking, or do you got like any corporate gig before you transition to your speaking career?
Oh, no, I've only been speaking professionally for the last 6 years. So before that, I was working in corporate America. I have a 20-year corporate America background. And because that's all I thought I would be good at doing was a desk job, you know, answer a phone, have a keyboard on my lap, a telephone and a computer. And I thought that, you know, doesn't take much mobility to manage those, you know, those pieces of technology. So in my head, that's what I thought the only thing that I would be good at doing, right? Something that took minimal physical activity or minimal physical work and just a few pieces of technology that could be wireless. And I would have no problem. So I did that for 20 years and I loved corporate America, right? That's where I met my wife. I met some great friends, it wasn't fulfilling to me. It wasn't fulfilling to me. I knew that there was something more that I could be doing. Now you asked me if I was speaking prior to my disability or when I got disabled. But the funny thing is that when I was in school, I always used to get in trouble for talking. And I was always trying to tell the teachers, like, it's not that that I'm doing this for fun. This is what I'm called to do. This is my gift. Right. Yeah. But I always used to get in trouble for talking. Who would have known that all these years later, I'd actually be getting paid for talking?
And would you think that it's one of the blessings in disguise that happened to you, because it launched, you know, give you a launch pad for your speaking career? Or is there some form of, you know, what if this didn't happen and all that?
Absolutely. I think that 100%. You know, I think growing up in New York, you know, they say that New York have the gift of gab, right? That we're natural talkers. We know how to talk. And that's a true statement. And so I think growing up in New York, I could have been born anywhere. I could have been born anywhere else on the planet, but God chose to allow me to be born in New York, which not only are we known for talking, but it's a rough place to grow up in, right? It's a rough environment. And I think that all of those different scenarios is what also helped me to become the mindset disruptor, because, you know, growing up in New York, you have to develop a tough skin, right? You just have to. It's just part of the culture there. You have to develop a tough skin. So I think just being around that environment, developing that tough skin, developing that no quitter mentality, and just keep pushing through. I think all of that, and then the talking as well of that, you know, you have to be a smooth talker, you have to be a hustler, you have to be ahead of the game, you know, all those type of things. I think that all helped contribute to me becoming the speaker that I am today.
Understood. And I'm just curious, are you still based in New York now, or are you moving to a different state or county?
No, now I'm in Miami, Florida.
Interesting. And speaking of living in the Bronx, I know, like you mentioned, it's already, you know, it's a tough environment to be in. I'm just really curious, was there come to a point where you've been bullied, or, you know, someone said something behind your back that maybe demotivated you in some way?
Well, you know, people used to try to bully me, but I was a tough cookie, like I said, and I was always the kid. Even though when I was younger, I was a strong young boy. Even though I had this condition inside of me, it didn't show itself until later on in life when I was in high school. So, you know, when I was a young boy, middle school, elementary, middle school, I was a strong boy. And even though I knew I had this condition living inside of me, I was always that kid that would protect the other kids that were getting bullied. Like, I would be the one standing up for them. I would fight for them. I would voice my concern for them. I would be the voice for them. So when I saw other kids getting bullied, I'd be like, hey, what are you doing? Why don't you pick on somebody your own size? And I would come into the picture and help them out. You know, and so when I would try, when my condition started to show itself and people tried to bully me, I had already developed this mental toughness that wasn't acceptable, and I wasn't going to allow that to happen. And then on top of that, you know, I had a good set of friends that were around me and some good family members that were also very protective of me, that, you know, even in school or in my neighborhood, when they would see other people trying to bully me, they would come to my defense. So it's almost came full circle. Like, I would help those kids getting bullied when I was younger and I could help them. And then when I was the one getting bullied, I had people around me that were helping me and standing up for me as well.
Interesting. Interesting. Thank you so much for that. And you mentioned about your wife. I think one of the things that really fascinated me when I was, you know, reaching out to you and scheduling the interview with you as well, the signature from Andrea, it says superpower of, or like a hidden secret weapon of Jose, something like that.
Yeah. It says Jose's wife and secret weapon. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm just really curious, how you mentioned you guys met, I think, when you were working in corporate America. How long have you been together? Like 20 years?
Yeah, we've been together 20 years, and we're going to be celebrating 14 years of marriage just next month in July.
Wow. And how do you guys transition towards what's happening? I believe you also had like two kids, right? So how has family life look like? And now with the pandemic and the events has been canceled or not, what's the situation?
Well, you know, my dreams have come true. My prayers have been answered. My biggest dream was, like I said, wondering if a woman was going to love me, if I was going to be able to have kids. Like, yeah, everyone always dreams of having the big house and the nice, fast cars and, you know, a healthy looking bank account. And that, there's nothing wrong with that, right? But my main dream was wondering if I was going to ever get married and have children. And I have. And I'm just so grateful for that, because, you know, I'm like the face of the company. I'm the one always out there speaking. And it's funny how they say opposites attract. Like, I'm the extrovert. My wife is the introvert. She doesn't like being around large crowds. It's very draining for her. But me, on the other hand, I love being around large crowds. It gives me energy. It makes me feel like I'm on a high. I love engaging with people. And but the funny thing is that I always tell my wife that she is the real MVP. She's the rock star, because she's the one who basically makes everything happen. I don't know if you checked out my website. There's like a video right on my website of my wife and the process that we have to go through every single morning just for me to get out of the bed. And she's been doing that process for 20 years. She's been doing that by my side for 20 years, every single day, right? And every single night. And then when we had children and our children got older, they were able to help become a part of the team and help out with the workload. And so I'm a firm believer that teamwork makes the dream work. And I'm just blessed to have an amazing wife. God gave me two amazing, not only amazing wife, but two healthy young boys, physically healthy, able, young bodied. They're young men now. They're actually 20 and 21. And my wife and I just became empty nesters. We had our kids at a young age, but we paid our dues early, and they're super intelligent, super handsome, super smart, super cool dudes. Our oldest son is a firefighter paramedic, and he's in college right now to become a pastor. And our youngest son, he lives with his girlfriend, and he's working in corporate America as well. But we just became empty nesters, and we're loving that. It's like, we're like falling in love all over again with each other. And we have, time to ourselves, and we're just enjoying life, man. We enjoy traveling and spending time with each other and having very deep conversations about everything, life, finances, business, relationships. And we just love being around each other.
Just listening for the past 5 minutes, I was like, smiling, because I can resonate with you. I mean, even I myself, I always like tell people I am nothing without my wife. Sometimes God gave you a person that is totally opposite of you, but somehow made it work, and it seemingly like ties together properly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And I mean, I always love, bigging up my wife and shouting out my wife everywhere I go when I speak, because again, like if you've seen my website, you've seen the video. I don't get to do Zoom calls. I don't get to go to speak at large events. I don't get to go to do workshops at corporations if my wife doesn't help me get in the chair every morning. So it's because of her that I get to do, what I love to do. And we love to do it. She loves to help me. She's such an amazing caregiver and caretaker. And she's an amazing wife. And she's an amazing mother, and she's an amazing friend. She's an amazing person. She just has a heart of gold. And anyone who comes in contact with her, you'll see that her light shines bright. And like I said, I'm just excited for what, for what's coming, for what's been happening. We just finished writing a book together, her and I, on marriage. It's called What Real Love Looks Like. That's going to be dropping hopefully by the end of this year or beginning of next year. But it's an amazing book on marriage and teamwork and how to make it work,
Interesting. So is that the second book that you're launching, or is it a third book?
That'll be my third book, but it'll be the first book that her and I have written together.
Interesting. And I'm just really curious as well. So are you originally a motivator, or how did you start your speaking career? I know you met what are your mentors in the past, but can you tell us like a little bit story about that as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've always been a motivated and a motivating individual.
Are you ready to launch your own podcast? Do you want to learn how to land big name guests and celebrity experts? Are you still overwhelmed with the confusing information about gear and software you needed? Are you ready to stay committed and consistent? If you are someone who wanted to start a podcast and build a personal brand and spread your message to inspire and impact people's lives, then go to the website at thedrivetosucceed.com/podcasting. The waitlist is now open for the Podcast Academy, an on-demand online course where I'll show you how to start, grow, build, and launch your future podcast. The website is thedrivetosucceed.com/podcasting. Again, the website is thedrivetosucceed.com/podcasting. And now let's get back to the rest of the episode.
Yeah, so I mean, I've always been a motivated and a motivating individual. I've always been a motivating and a motivated individual, right? But again, working in corporate America, I did that for 20 years, and I just started feeling like there's more that I could be doing with my life than what I was currently doing. Mm-hmm. Now, I was enjoying what I was doing, but I didn't love what I was doing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because of the limiting belief system that I had instilled into myself that was all I was good at doing. But once I started, once I met my mentor, and for those of you who don't know my mentor, and I'm pretty sure if you're watching this this podcast or listening to this podcast, you're into personal development and growth mindset. You've heard of the great Les Brown, who happens to be my personal friend, my mentor. He wrote the foreword to my second book that became a number one bestseller. It's called Don't Let Your Struggle Become Your Standard, How to Be Indispensable Even When the Odds Are Stacked Against You. He wrote the foreword to that. And so when I was in corporate America, almost six years ago, when I started feeling like there's more that I could be doing, and I started really getting tired of being in corporate America because I wanted to do more with myself and more and wanted to get more out of life. Mm-hmm. I was kind of getting tired of just the 9-to-5 rat race, and just that was like wash, rinse, repeat. And there was really no fulfillment. And so I said, you know, life is too short. Life is too short. And what else could I be doing? What else can I do? And so that's when I really had to ask myself those hard questions. Like, okay, well, you can't run, you can't walk, you can't lift your arms and use your arms the way you want to. What can you do? And I said, well, I still have my voice and I still have my mind. What can I do with those two things to produce an income and provide for my family? So I just went on and I said, let me check out motivational speaking. I love motivating, like I said, and I've always been a motivated individual. Let me see what that's all about. So I went to Google, started YouTubing. That's how I came across Les Brown's videos. And I literally got engulfed with that stuff, man. Like, I was so on fire, like, you know, Les Brown, Eric Thomas, Tony Robbins, John Maxwell, you know.
Yeah, to be hungry.
Ziegler, yeah. Oh, I was hungry, man. When I tell you, I was starving for this stuff. Like, I couldn't get enough of it. So I started to engulf myself in this stuff. I really started to study, you know, the different speakers, primarily Les Brown, study his, because he's such a wise individual. He has such an amazing way of storytelling and captivating the audience and using his voice in such a powerful way. And he's also funny and he has a funny laugh and people are attracted to that. And so I was like, man, this guy is amazing. And I felt so connected to his story, right? Because he was the underdog, right? He had his own situation where, you know, he was counted out many times and they thought he wasn't going to make it. And they disqualified him. And so I just connected with, even though he was able to walk, we were sharing some of the same emotions and some of the same similar beating that the world gives us sometimes, right? We were able to endure so many things, and I just connected so much with him and I love him so much. But that's what excited me. And I'm like, man, if this guy has generated $60 to $70 million by using his voice and his mind, right? His voice and his mind. I was like, man, I have a good story. I have a good voice and a smart mind. I can do the same thing, if not even more, right? With today's technology and all the different advances that we have. And so I started my journey into motivational speaking, and that was going on 6 years. Actually, this December would be 6 years that I've started my journey. It's been incredible, man. I want your listeners to understand this. When you start to really break the chains that have been holding you back, right? Breaking any bondages, breaking any limiting belief system, breaking any negative self-talk that you've had, that you yourself have spoken to yourself or people have spoken over you. When you start to break those things off of your life, I'm telling you, it is such a liberating and freeing feeling that you start to understand and comprehend, wow, there's so much more life out there that's available to me, and I want to go and get it. And that's I got to that point almost six years ago. That's the point that I was at. And I was like, man, there's so much more life out there than just this 9-to-5. There's so many more lives I can be touching, so many lives I can be impacting, so many lives I can be helping to change their mindsets about themselves, about their condition or their environment, their circumstance, their situation, to go out and attack life like never before. And once I understood that concept and I decided and made the choice that this is what I wanted, I never turned back.
So you mentioned it's going to be 6 years on December, right? On your speaking career. I'm just really curious. So when you get started, obviously you're a good talker, you're a fast talker yourself, almost a very smooth talker, I can say. But I'm just really curious, when you first speaking in public, because, you know, maybe some of our audience would like to jump into the same career, right? Was it always like a, you know, is it automatically a big audience that you started speaking with? Or do you get the jitters of speaking the first time in public?
Well, when I first started speaking, I obviously, you know, many speakers speak for free in the beginning. And I was speaking at middle schools and high schools. The audience, the size of the audience was a small audience, right? Maybe about, I was about maybe 30 to 40 students. And then when I went to high school, I spoke. I remember my first paid speaking engagement was for high school. They called me up and they asked me if I can come speak. Now I'm thinking they're asking me to come and speak for their students. They were actually asking me to come and speak for all the staff and faculty and the teachers right in the beginning of the school year to kind of charge them up and get them ready for the new school year. And that was about almost 200 people. There was about 100 and I would say 50, 140 people, something like that in the audience. Because it was the entire staff and faculty. And then shortly after that, man, when I met Les Brown, I got to speak on the same stage with him. And I spoke in front of 3,500 people. And that was like the most amazing experience that I've had in my life, because the energy in that room was incredible. It's just unexplainable. And, you know, it's funny because most people, they say that people fear death and then public speaking, right? And yeah, some would say public speaking is number one, then death, right? But for me, like I said, I've always been a talker. I've never been afraid to talk to people or in front of people. But when I spoke in front of such a large audience, it wasn't like I was afraid, but I was very excited, but I was also nervous because this was a very large group in front of a group of professionals, right? People who own companies, run companies, people who are entrepreneurs. So I'm like, wow, this is like the real deal now. But I did it, right? A lot of times when you feel afraid or fear tries to kick in, you have to face it. You have to face it and you have to just go forward and you have to jump. And that's what I did, man. I jumped and I went in and it was such an amazing experience. One of the memories that'll last forever in my mind. And ever since then, it's been incredible. I've spoken, my largest audience has been, I think, 5,500 people since then. And that's not a small, you know, that I mean, it's 5,500. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a small amount, but when you're in front of 5,500 people, man, that's a lot of people. And again, it's amazing. That fuels me, right? And even through this pandemic, you know, I've done several Zoom calls for companies and organizations where there's been 1,200, 1,500 people, 500 people. And it's cool, right? But you don't get the same energy that you do.
There's no balance of energy and eye contact.
Yeah, you know, you can try to you know, exert the energy to a certain extent, right? Sometimes they can feel your energy by the way you speak, by the way you move, by the faces that you make, right? You get them excited, you raise your eyebrows, people get excited, right? You smile, people smile, those type of things. But there's nothing like an in-person live audience energy and I miss that. And I've spoken once since the pandemic in person, and I'm hoping that this year is going to be an amazing year as things start to open up more and more, that I'll be able to get out there in front of more people, because that's my sweet spot.
Interesting. And you basically, one of your core speaking engagements is all about mindset. So my question is, how do you develop a strong mindset?
Man, you develop a strong mindset by going through the storms in life, you know, going through the struggles, going through the challenges. Sometimes when life throws us a challenge, when life throws us a struggle, a situation, a circumstance, many people give up, right? It's because it's hard. It's very hard to push through when you're drained physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, when you have no hope, when you have no faith. It's hard to move forward when you're lacking those things. That's why faith is so important. You know, a lot of times people ask me, like, how is it that you know, my faith in God has helped me tremendously. And it's the main thing that has pushed me forward in life when I started to understand how powerful faith is. But not only faith, right? Keeping hope alive, right? Like my body, every day I wake up, you know, it appears to be getting weaker and weaker as the years, you know, the months and years go on. That's the conversation I was telling you earlier that I had with my wife. Like, how do you keep the faith when nothing positive seems to be happening, right? There seems to be no improvement. There seems to be nothing happening. How do you mm-hmm. keep your faith? And I told my wife, you know, I was talking to my wife and I'm telling her, like, well, we have two options, right? We can either look at the positive and say, well, we got to keep going because, you know, with the hope that something good is going to happen, or we can do the opposite. We can be negative and we can be, you know, lose hope and lose faith and lose sight of what the goal is and just start to dwindle downward and allow the situation, allow the struggle, allow the situation to consume us to the point where we go into this dark place where there's no light, where there's no hope, where there's no vibrancy, right? Of energy, of positive energy, and you become to, you're in this negative, bitter, miserable mind state and state of being that it's hard to climb out of. That's where depression kicks in. That's where anxiety kicks in, and it starts to consume people. So it's a very dangerous ground to play around with, right? When you're dealing with positive and negative. And so I always hold on to keeping hope alive. I always hold on to there's light at the end of the tunnel. I always hold on to, you know, even, you know, there was times where I was, you know, sometimes my wife is like, what's the matter, babe? And I'm like, oh, like she'll hear me go, oh my goodness. And she's like, what's up? And I'm like, my arms are so freaking weak. And I get frustrated, you know, trying to grab this or grab that or pick this up or pick that up. And I'm like, man, I'm just so tired of these freaking weak arms or my weak legs or, you know, and that type of talk is the type of talk that I'm talking about. It's a negative type of talk, because when you start to allow, you know, these forces and these thoughts to consume you, it can take you down a rabbit hole very far down that's hard to climb out of. So I'm just grateful that, you know, for those of you that are listening and, you know, you want to become a speaker, right? You asked me that before. You want to become a speaker. I would just say, tackle your fears, face them, you know, charge at them head on and overcome them. That's the only way to overcome fear is by overcoming them. And then, you know, as far as like becoming mentally tough, you have to constantly, like I said, keep hope alive. You have to constantly be looking at the light at the end of the tunnel and being positive, right? Good things are going to happen. And you have to be expectant. You have to have an attitude of gratitude, right? Be grateful for the things that I do. Like, listen, when I start to have a pity party for myself, like, oh, my arms, oh, my legs, oh, this, oh, that, oh, I'm tired of the wheelchair. Oh, and oh, woe is me. I start thinking about people who have no arms, people who have no legs, right? People who don't have the luxury, right? This is a luxury. Some people might look at this wheelchair and be like, oh man, that guy's messed up. But let me tell you, this is a luxury. When you go to other countries and you see people on the floor dragging themselves because they don't have the finances, there's no resources, there's no programs like we have in the United States that help people and give them wheelchairs. There's other countries where there aren't any programs like that. I went to Mexico one time and I saw an old grandma crawling, dragging herself on the floor because her legs, she was paralyzed, but she didn't have any wheelchair. So this is a luxury, man. I look at this like, man, this is like a luxury thing that I get to have, right? So like that type of mindset, when you start to look at the positive, right? Like I can be miserable because I'm in this wheelchair, or I can be grateful because I have a wheelchair.
Understood. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And also, I always believe that, you know, after faith and love, hope is one of the most powerful words that comes after it. So totally agree with you. And as we reach towards the end of the podcast, can you share us, so say, you know, about the books that are coming out? Where can they find it? How can they find more about you and your work and any upcoming webinars or talks?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you for that opportunity. Yeah, you can check out, I have a couple books on Amazon. You can also go to my website. If you're within the United States, I ship books from my website, signed copies. You can go to joseinspires.com if you're within the United States. If you're outside of the US, you can go to Amazon. Just type in my name, Jose Flores, or you can type in the title of my books. I have one ebook that's called Finding Your Greatness. That's an ebook. And then I have my second book, which is an ebook, an audiobook, and a physical book. You can get that on Amazon. Just type in Don't Let Your Struggle Become Your Standard. That's on Amazon as well. And yeah, you can get, if you want to bring me in to speak for your organization, your corporation, your company, you have a nonprofit, or even if you have a church, I speak at churches as well, right? Everyone, testimonies, we share stories of ourselves. And just again, to give that hope to other people. So I do all types of speaking for nonprofits. So if you want to bring me in to come and speak for your organization, you can go to my website as well, joseinspires.com, or I'm very accessible as well. You can reach out to me through social media. My handle is @JoseInspires. Again, very easy to find universally all across all platforms. I would love to go ahead and speak for your organization or your event. And we also have, my wife and I, as I mentioned earlier, our third book coming out called What Real Love Looks Like. We're going to be doing marriage retreats, marriage seminars, marriage conferences. When that comes out, we're also creating a curriculum that goes along with the book to help those marriages that are struggling, because my wife and I believe that if you can help repair and restore marriage, then in essence, what we're doing is we're helping to repair and restore an entire family. And we believe that families that can stay together, you know, that are pray together and that are strong together can make a powerful impact in the world, in their community and everywhere around them. And so that's what our, where our heart is in this next season. And yeah, man, we're just all about making impact. So JoseInspires.com, you can follow me or catch up with me on any social media platform at JoseInspires. And one last thing, Daniel, that I would like to do for all of your listeners and viewers is that, I'm all about giving back and paying it forward. I know Les Brown has blessed me with so many opportunities. I was on tour with him. He did the forward to my book. I've visited him in the hospital. I've been to his house. We've spent so much time together. So I'm always a big fan of paying it forward and giving back. So I'd like to give everyone listening and watching a free gift, completely free, no strings attached. All you have to do is go to freegift.joseinspires.com. And it's a free MP3 download that you can download a motivational CD, a talk that I gave on the power of showing up. And since all of you showed up to listen to this podcast, I want to go ahead and give you that free gift on the power of showing up.
So for our audience today who's listening or watching this video, go again to the free gift that joseinspires.com for the power of showing up talk that you did before. And all of the websites, we're going to post it on the show notes as well. So no worries about that. And also, Jose, before my last and final question, I just wanted to acknowledge you for sharing your journey and wisdom with us. And it was truly an enjoyable one. I always love talking about family, faith, God, you know, inspiration, motivation. And for someone like you who embodies those, I truly respect you and salute you for sharing your journey with us. So my last and final question to you, say, if everything is stripped away from you, I don't know how many years will take when you reach the pinnacle of success, whatever that means to you. If you reach that point and everything is stripped away from you, what would be your main drive to succeed?
My main drive to succeed would be what it is currently right now, is to see other people's lives transformed, changed, and succeed and win in life.
Well, thank you so much, Jose Flores, for your time. Until next time, God bless.
My pleasure, man. Thank you so much. God bless you and your audience as well.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and a review in Apple Podcasts. This way, it can improve our searchability, reach out, and impact more people too. The waitlist is now open for the Podcast Academy, an on-demand online course where I'll show you how to start, grow, build, and launch your future podcast. The website is thedrivetosucceed.com/podcasting. Again, the website is thedrivetosucceed.com/podcasting. Once again, thank you for listening. Bye for now.